The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. The first epistle, General Peter, chapter 2, and the 9th verse. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. This is a very deep and sacred and profound word, and one needs much grace to begin to look into it. We would firstly remind you that this epistle was written by Peter to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia. These were strangers to God and to godliness. They knew not the Lord until the Lord was pleased to open, as our text describes it, their blind eyes, to call, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. You see, they were strangers to God. They knew not God. And that is how we each are born by nature. What a solemn thing it is in this solemn day, as many hills of Zion are in low places, and the reason being it is because there are many that are strangers to the Lord. They know not God, desire not him, do not want to seek him or to know him. And this is just how the people were that Paul first wrote, Peter wrote first to. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia and Bithynia. But though they were strangers to the Lord, in the sense that they knew not God, yet he knew them, and he knew where they each were in each of those places. And Peter goes further in verse 2 in the first chapter. He said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. What a mercy it is in the dark day in which we live that God still has his elect in the earth and he knows where they each are. He may be in the backside of the deserts of Africa. It may be in the busiest streets of London, New York, or wherever it be. But oh, may we bring it right home to each of our hearts this morning. does it exercise you and me? Are we amongst those elect? Chosen by God before the foundation of the world. Given to the dear Lord Jesus to suffer, to bleed, to die for, to redeem them with an eternal redemption. Now these are the characters named in our text. But ye. It's been very sweet to me, these first two words. And there may be one here that is so concerned to know that you're one of the Lord's dear children. The hymn writer said, didn't he, 'tis a point I long to know. Oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? Is that the question in your poor heart this morning? Well, may the Holy Spirit, if it is, speak these precious words of our text right into your soul. Because in this word there's everything the sinner will need for time and for eternity. And the Lord was to use dear Peter as the messenger of heaven to speak this word to these that had been enemies to God and godliness. And then the Lord had so worked in them and brought this great concern to know whether they were among his children or not. And what does he say? But ye. He brings it right home to them personally. And this is what seemed so sweet and precious to me. May the Lord seal home to each of our souls this morning this precious word. But ye, not somebody else, but ye. You see, the hour is going to come with each of us where we shall have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And how will it be with us then? Are we amongst these ye, but ye? Does it concern us? Does it exercise us, but ye? We know a loving parent and those of us that have many souls laid in our hearts are so exercised concerning the standing of this one and that one. And it's right we should be, but when the hour of death comes, it won't be just how is it with them. The vital thing will be how is it with us. The apostle was ever exercised in this, you know. We live in a day where many say, oh, we're so concerned about those in the world and somebody else, but they don't ever examine their own heart. It's a solemn thing, you know. The apostle did. He was continually before the Lord, both Peter and Paul and the other apostles, regarding their own standing. What did Peter say? Give diligence to make your calling an election sure. And this is what he wanted to know in his own soul, and he wanted to know concerning those that he ministered to, that they were on good ground when they came to die. You think how solemn it would be if we're building our hopes on the sand, like the Lord Jesus used the illustration in his word when he ministered. Where do we stand? Are we building our hopes upon that rock, Christ Jesus, or are we building on the sand? things of self or things of this world or our own natural religion. There's only one sure foundation. We read of it in this sacred chapter, and Peter so sweetly sets it forth, doesn't he? The necessity of being found upon the rock. He says, but ye also as living stones built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to speak. He says, unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence, even to them which stumble at it, at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. And then he brings it home, but ye are a chosen generation. When we look back over many generations past, we could see how many there were that were among a chosen generation. A generation to praise the God of heaven. Now, right the way through the ages, to the end of time, there will be a chosen generation. It may be there are only a few. It may be there are many. The Lord's a sovereign. But in each generation, you look at the generations of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The Lord favoured each of those generations. And Joseph, and you could go further. But bring it right home to us here in this present generation. May the Lord speak this word to you and to me, but ye are a chosen generation. This choosing of this generation is all in the Lord's hand. And what we need to know is personally, you know, the Lord will give us a word to sweetly assure us that we're among this chosen generation. Let me use a few illustrations from God's holy word. First of all, you think of Saul of Tarsus. You know, when he was persecuting the church of God and casting men and women into prison, who would have thought that this was a chosen vessel of mercy? He looked impossible, didn't he? And when the Lord spoke to Saul on that Damascus road and led him to the street called Straight and to the house, the Lord spoke to Ananias concerning him. And you know, that's a beautiful word, what the Lord said to Ananias. But what did Ananias say first to the Lord? He said to the Lord, Lord, I've heard much of this man, how he hath persecuted the church of God and cast men and women into prison. But what did the Lord say to him? But go thy way, Ananias. He is a chosen vessel unto me to show forth my praise. You see, Ananias needed to be settled in the matter. And this is what we need, and I need it personally, and I believe those rightly exercised here this morning will need it personally. The Lord will assure us each person that he has chosen us. that we are among this chosen people, love with an everlasting love. It's a vital point of divine doctrine. And here the Lord was using this as he speaks to dear Peter, through dear Peter, to these that were scattered abroad. But ye are a chosen generation. But then we think too of dear Jeremiah. I thought of it. We were singing, you know, that dear man, when the Lord told him he got to go and prophesy unto the people. What did the dear man feel? Like every God-sent servant that's anointed by the Holy Spirit will feel. He felt what a child he was, and he couldn't speak. But what did the Lord say to him? Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. You see, the Lord had chosen dear Jeremiah. Before he was even formed in the womb, before even the dust of the earth was made by God, he had chosen him. And he'd chosen him, and so the Lord will, for every one of his dear children and his dear servants, he had choose them, and he had choose the path that they've got to walk, and nobody else can walk it. You think of it in your heart. You may say, well, we're in things today we can't understand. As I said in prayer, there's many crooked things. But if the Lord has chosen you and put you in that way, he's chosen the path you've got to tread, and you will need grace to walk it out, and so will I. But with Jeremiah, the Lord had chosen him to prophesy unto the people. Just as he'd chosen Peter to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ to those scattered abroad, to these strangers. And they were strange to men, and the Lord dealt with them in wonderful, strange ways, didn't he? But in wondrous, wondrous ways. And here with Jeremiah, and then Jeremiah said unto the Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I will put my words in thy mouth. Oh, the Lord was to do. But you look at the path that the Lord had chosen for Jeremiah to walk in, even to be shut up in prison, and to walk a path of weeping. And God had chosen it. It was not Jeremiah's choice. It won't be yours or won't be mine. But it was God's choice. And what did it do for the dear man? It kept him ever so near the Lord. And it kept him dependent upon the Lord. Now he was a chosen child of God, a chosen generation, among the generations that fear the Lord. But then go back to Saul of Tarsus. You will remember that when he records those beautiful dealings of the Lord with him in Acts 22, we read what further Ananias said to him, which is a very beautiful word, you know. The Lord sent Ananias to him as God's messenger. And my great concern is this morning with this text that we may be the Lord's messenger to some poor doubting, fearful soul that wonders whether you're in the way at all, buffeted by Satan, hedged up on every side. How can I be right? But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Think of the preciousness of this word. And holy nation, a peculiar people. Does it describe you and describe me? Or let me come low. Do we desire to know what's in this text? Because Christ is precious in the desire of him. And the desire to know the real things. It's not the desire of the world or natural professors of religion, is it? But it's the desire of a real child of God. But what I was going to say regarding dear Saul, when he was brought before those rulers and leaders, he declares to them how Ananias came and how did he speak to him. One Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came to me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul. Look at the relationship there was, not only with Ananias and Saul, but the relationship there was between Saul and the Lord and Ananias and the Lord. They were one with the Lord. Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And then Ananias speaks from heaven God's word of a fourfold blessing. And the first part was this, and he said, the God of our fathers hath chosen thee. There's no doubt the dear Saul, he looked back in his life, how he persecuted the church of God and rebelled against the dear Lord Jesus and hated the name of Christ. Was such a chosen vessel? The Lord abhorred and hated the sin that he'd committed in his unregenerate days, but here there's real concern in him. The God of our fathers has chosen thee. That's the first part of the blessing, that thou shouldest know his will. And that's just where the apostle was, because what did he say? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He wanted to know the will of God, and here's Ananias saying that thou shouldest know his will. Is the one here want to know the Lord's will in a matter? Now I seek to be led into this, but you think in your soul, concerning your exercises, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. You know, it's the great concern of a real exercised child of God. They ever desire to know and to do the Lord's will. But solemnly, we have our own will, don't we? And often, as the hymn writer said, that is working too. But may the Lord keep us from our will, but give us grace to know his will and submission to his will. That thou shouldest know his will. The Lord was to unfold it to dear Paul, so as he was then. And he can unfold it to you, poor soul. And he may unfold it through the ministry. He may unfold it through his word. He may unfold it through circumstances. It's been with me much, and there are things that exercise me in this, but I think of that word in the Revelations. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man shall shut it. Yet thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and not denied my name. But if you look in that chapter, dear John, in speaking to the churches under the anointing of the Spirit, what does he say? He speaks about he that shutteth, and no man openeth. And openeth, and no man shutteth. And you know, there are circumstances where the Lord will unfold his will, we are shut doors, but he will open. He can shut a door to open a door for you. Oh, he can. And the Lord, you see, will ever fulfill his will, and he will shut, and he will then open. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man shall shut it. And when the Lord does open the door, like he did to Paul's ministry and to the Apostle Peter's ministry, no man can shut it. They may try. The devil may roar. Man may do all he can to hedge up the way. But when he opens, and he did for the apostle, now I leave that for your meditation, but it came and I feel we must lay it to heart. The third part of this divine blessing for this dear chosen child of God, Saul of Tarsus as he was then, Paul later, and see that just one. Now who was that just one that he was to see? None other than the dear Lord Jesus. That just one, that thou shouldest see that just one. He was to view by faith a precious Jesus, and so will you. And so will I if we're among these chosen. We view him in his word, we view him in the ministry, we view him in sometimes in our sufferings. Oh, to be led into the sufferings of Christ. To have a glimpse by faith of those pierced hands and feet and side. And then the fourth part of the blessing, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. He was to know what it was for the Lord to speak to him. And you know, if we're among these chosen generation, we in measure will know something of those fourfold blessings. First, the God of our fathers are chosen, for as our text says, but ye are a chosen generation. Oh, may the Lord assure us each here this morning that we're among this chosen generation. If there's any that desire not to know, may this be the set time when he will put that desire in you. But ye are a chosen generation. Chosen to seek the Lord. Chosen to know, live in faith, in gracious exercise. Chosen to love the Lord. Chosen to walk in his ways. May be chosen to be officing in the church and chosen to preach the word. It's not man's choice, you see, it's the Lord's choice. But ye are a chosen generation. Well, these chosen ones, the Lord will manifest that choice to them, that he has chosen. The baptising yesterday, a dear servant of God, he quoted that word which the Lord spoke to him, and there's maybe many of you here, the Lord has beautifully spoken that precious word to you of evidence of the choice of God. And we read in Isaiah what the Lord said here, and it's spoken, you see, from heaven. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. And here's the sweet word of choice from heaven, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. The Lord manifests in such a word as this that you are his choice, chosen vessel. He conveys it, you see. And then we think of that beautiful word too in Isaiah. I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Oh, you think of when the dear hands of the Saviour were nailed to Calvary's tree, and we need faith to view it, and we need humility in our poor soul to mention it. Those pierced hands and every one of his dear chosen children were graven upon the palms of his hands as they were nailed to Calvary's tree and graven in his heart. Oh, may the Lord help us to ever consider the great cost of our salvation, his own heart's blood. But ye are a chosen generation. And then we think of those beautiful words the Lord spoke to Jeremiah. Again, a sweet evidence of the Lord's choice. Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. And you see, these souls that are chosen will make him their choice. He will so put in your poor heart the things that you have to now choose. You see, when Saul of Tarsus, in his unregenerate days, in all the natural religion he was in, his choice was to be an enemy of the Lord. But after the Damascus Road, he had a far better choice, didn't he? What did Jesus say himself in John 15? Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that ye should bring forth much fruit. And you see, when the Lord worked in Saul of Tarsus, he made his choice, the Lord's choice. It's like dear Ruth, really, you know. When she came out of Moab, Naomi put to them the choice. Go back to thy gods and to thy people. Orpah went back to them. But what about dear Ruth? She couldn't go back to them, could she? All she desired was to go with Naomi. This was her soul's choice. It was not just Ruth's choice, it was the Lord's choice for her. Because he'd chosen her. Thy people shall be my people, she says, and thy God, my God. She clave to Naomi. And if the Lord has chosen you and chosen me, we shall cleave close to the Lord. We shall cleave close to his people. We shall cleave close to his word. We shall cleave close to the old paths. We can't cleave to the world or to just natural religion. Oh no, it's the choice, you see, of heaven that he has chosen us, and he makes the soul willing to choose him, or choose him, the hymn writer said, in return. And then just one further illustration of this, we think of Moses. He was a chosen vessel of mercy, and he was to lead a chosen generation that were to fear the Lord. What do we read? You see, Moses, who was Pharaoh's daughter, adopted as such, if he'd stayed in Egypt, he could have had everything Egypt afforded and been the Pharaoh. But God had another choice for Moses. It may be he's got another choice for you. You're thinking, well, we have our way, we're going to do this and that. That's the attitude of the world, an attitude of man by nature. But what did Moses have to come to? We read in Hebrews 11, by faith Moses, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Is that your choice? Is it mine? Oh, how the dear man was made willing by the God of heaven. We read, don't we, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And look at the blessings that were to flow from it, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, it's only that religion that gets to heaven. No other. What a wonderful thing. If this is in our hearts, you see. And I'll tell you what, poor soul, it's not put in by man. The desire in Moses was put there by God because the Lord had chosen him. And he made Moses willing to choose this path. And it wasn't going to be a path that was easy to the flesh, was it? It was a path that God had chosen him to walk in and ordained him to walk in. And the Lord made him willing. But I must leave it, the time's gone. We think of that beautiful word that is set before us in the text, and we would, and I had hoped to go on further with it this morning, but the Lord knows. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Oh, think of the favour there is here. A royal priesthood, heirs of a royal city of heaven, and holy nation. You say, well, that's not me, I'm so unholy. The holiness is in the Lord. A peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvellous light. And you know, in that marvellous light, you view things that you never viewed before. You can view the vital things of God. You can view the precious things of Jesus. And they're to be viewed by faith. He gives the sinner that light to view them. Those dead in sin can never view them. Those dead in a profession of religion can never view them. Those in nature's darkness can never view them until the Lord gives them light. And when he gives that light, you view everything that the Lord reveals to faith, and you view the suitability of Christ, the preciousness. Well could Peter say unto you, therefore which believe, he is precious. And Peter could write it from experience. Amen.